Mishnah Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud. Okay, so we've been talking about a whole bunch of cases where you've got a pisayon, and then afterwards you have a change in the original nega, and then we have to analyze whether this is considered to be a new nega or whether it's considered to be the same nega as Rabbi Akiva says, because according to Rabbi Akiva, once you have a siman tuma, the siman tuma links the current situation to what was there before. And it was only in the case we didn't have the siman tuma that over there Rabbi Akiva Dafka was the one who said, look, if it's in a new place, it's not the same nega. Now, in this case, in this mission, we're going to talk about a case where we lost the ohm completely. We haven't talked about that. We talked about where there were changes in the size of the ohm, and then either the total size was still a kegris, or the total size was kegris for od, which Rabbi Akiva considered to be over all a pisayon in the original nega. How about if there is no initial ohm that's left? So imagine a case where we have a baheret, which is one gris. Okay. Now it expands another gris. So for all intents and purposes, there is enough to go around to make another nega. Now, a pisayon area had itself a siman tuma in that new area. So inside of the area that was pasah, there is now a siman tuma, either in miches basar chai, or we have two seyar lavan, and now the ohm itself disappears, leaving the pisayon with a siman tuma. So over here, Rabbi Akiva says, look, you have a siman tuma, and a siman tuma serves to link what is there with the ongoing search for the din of the original nega. And you can't say, oh, well, now it's not there anymore. What are you talking about? This is what we've been waiting for. So this pisayon is the original nega that was prasa. And because of that, we have any of the simonim are enough to make it a tame nega. So therefore, it's all one nega. After the whole thing goes away, then you are simply mitire this mitzora with one set of the various karbonas and so on. You don't take two separate karbonas because these are two separate negayim. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, this is entirely a new nega. Like we said before, once the ohm is gone, then even though there was a pisayon, it's still not considered to be the equivalent of that first one. Now, it's true that over here we have a new thing, which is that the pisayon itself already has the siman in it. So we don't have to wait for a pisayon on the pisayon. We're not going to just be putting it into a state of hezger, because l'chora, the moment that I see this, the Kohen now sees this, and the Chachomim are shouting, but this is a new nega, this is a new nega. So fine, if it's a new nega, it says the Kohen, okay, it's a new nega, but it's got in it, yeah, I agree, there's no pisayon. It's got seyar lavan. It's got a michya. So basically, Rabbi Akiva is saying exactly the same thing as the Chachomim, right? So according to the Chachomim, the halacha is it's tame, because it's a new nega with a siman tuma. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's tame, because it's the old nega with a siman tuma. I mean, who cares? It's basically tame. So, I mean, l'chora, the difference would be whether these are considered to be two separate negayim. If you hold it's two separate negayim, then the first nega went away, and he has to go through the whole process of the Tyrus Hamatzera for nega number one. He'll have to go through a separate process for nega number two. Whereas if you hold of Rabbi Akiva, it's all the same nega, and that would be the big difference between them. Okay, let's take the next case. We have a baheret, which is a kachatzi gris. Now, what this is basically going to be doing is going to be bringing bringing together the concepts so that we can understand them in their interrelationship. So let's start with a baheret, which is a chatzi gris, and it doesn't have any kind of siman tuma in it. Another baheret appears, which is the size of a chatzi gris, right next to it, so that now we have a full gris. And in that chatzi baheret, it has one white hair. So it has a sarachat. Okay. So nothing. So it requires hezker. It's a regular nega. As I said, this is only basically here to present the various issues so you can understand clearly what is considered to be a siman tuma that is hofach lavan and what is not. There's not going to be any chiddush in this. Okay, so it only has one sara. So obviously, it. And by the way, it doesn't mean it had it in it from before. It means it turned it to be white. It doesn't matter. All we have over here is a nega with no siman. Now let's take a case of a baharet, which is a chatzi gris, which actually does have itself one siman. So it has a sa'ar lavan. Now another one pops up, and it's also a chatzi gris, and it also turns a sa'ar lavan. So, big deal. There was no nega that had turned se'ar from shachor to lavan, because a chatzi gris is not a nega that can be mahaper chasar. And as we saw before, it's got to be the shear of a nega in order for it to be considered to be a siman tuma. So therefore, in this case, harei zula haskir, because even though they were technically, I understand biologically, I'm looking over here at a skin disease that turned a hair in it white. But skin diseases are not tzarat. Tzarat are defined as a specific shear of whatever this disease is. So therefore, yes, you're right. The doctor claims that this is sayar that was wafach lavan, but the Kohen doesn't agree that it's sayar that's wafach lavan because there was no shira vekigris. Now let's take another case. We have a baheret that's a chatzi gris, and it has two saras that it was mahapech lavan. And now another baharet appears next to it, and it turns one sayar lavan. So obviously both of these skin diseases are capable, each on its own, of creating sayar lavan. I don't care. Again, it doesn't change anything. You're not impressing me with this new case, because it's still harei zu lahazgir. Sayar lavan is only sayar lavan where you start with a kegris, not where you confirm that it was a kegris ex post facto. You start with a kegris and then you finish afterwards changing it into the sayar lavan. Mishnah yud aleph. Now, how about where you have a baharet achachatzi gris with nothing in it? Comes along another baharet, also a kachatzi gris, and this turns two sa'arot into white after it appears next to the original baharet. Now you're talking. And at last, harezu lahachlid. This and only this case is the case that you can actually use to be a siman tuma, because, and this illustrates for you once and for all very clearly, that this is Mipnesha Amru, and get this rule straight now that you've seen all the variations. Im Baheret, full-size Baheret, was Kadma L'Seyar Lavan, it's Tame. If the Seyar Lavan came before the Baheret, it's Tar. I don't care how it is that you manage to work it out, that you explain that ex post facto, I have all of the data that I need. This is not a function of data. It's a function of a specific halacha. And therefore, you now understand what this means. Because of that, you can also now understand that when you're talking about a suffix, which one came first? Now, I know that when you're talking about a suffix, you're thinking to yourself, I mean, come on. What do you mean suffix? I mean, obviously, hair doesn't turn white on its own. We're talking about this whole biological process. We see this skin disease that always turns hair white. And now there's white hair in the baharet. I mean, come on, what do you mean? The white hair was there first and then the baharet. That's ridiculous. So you think to yourself, okay, so a suffix doesn't bother me. So if that's the case, then I should be able to paskin that if it is a suffix, it would be tamei, because since the generality is, and this is what the Tanakhama says. Now that turned Rabbi Yoshua's teeth on edge, and he didn't like the keha with the chuf, he liked the keha with the kuf, because I don't like that pshat at all. At least that's the preferred pshat of many of these. It's sort of like it's a play on words. But he held that you cannot. If you have a suffek, he holds that the Torah was dafka matir, any suffek of a tzaras, a suffek of tumah tzaras. We don't pask in that way, actually, and therefore we take this as a rov that the Baharis is mahapek, the Se'ar Lavan, and it is considered to be a suffek tumah. So, okay, the just to be misakem is what the Gra does here, and it just points out that what we've done is we've gone through all of the possibilities, starting with a Baharat Kachatzi Gris, where you have one hair in the new Baharat, and then we go the Chatzi Gris, which itself has one hair, plus another hair in the next one. And then you go from a Baharat Chatzi Gris, which has two hairs, and then another hair in the next one. And then we go to the Baharat Chatzi Gris, where the two hairs appear after the addition of the Chatzi Gris, just to make it very clear that each one of them adds to the clarity of the idea that we had before it. Okay, this, however, brings us to a very important moment in which our Richie is ready to respond. And that is, Hadron Alach Yesh Bisar Lavan. I think we better do the fine on the Halakha Perek. We better do tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem. Okay, but we're getting up there. So tomorrow, Emir Tashem, fifth Perek.